had planned to maybe go ahead and continue our study with some of the apostles. As usual, I didn't feel like I knew hardly anything about it, them, and we talked about that list that could be found in Matthew, Mark. I think Luke's got an account in the book of Acts. We've got all of those to kind of go through, but I wanted to kind of break it down individually and wanted to understand a little bit more. And I think appreciate Brother Josh before I forget it. Last week, I thought he'd done a fantastic job when he was here teaching us, and appreciate that. But getting back to the apostles, wanted to understand Peter a little bit, and we'd found that he's got multiple names given in the Bible. I think we had talked about at least four names, and you might could even argue more than that. But maybe when you break down the meanings, we'll see them to be the kind of the same thing. But we're going to be bouncing around, going to be covering a lot of different scriptures today. But just wanted to kind of bring this out the best we can and where the names come from and things like that. God bless you, bud. Thank you. So we might start finding these four names. We may start in the book of Acts 15 and 14. And y'all feel free to jump in on this. It's just us studying together. 15 and 14. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Now, I believe that it seems that James here, because if you step up there and look at the 13th, it's referring to James, but it calls Peter Simeon, as he had repeated what Peter had just said in 15 and 7. So you step back there to 7, and it says, when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. So jump over there to the 14th and we'll read that again. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out them a people for his name. So there's one name. And then we're going to jump over and see that Simeon, just to say, is the Greek equivalent to Simon. So that makes a little bit more sense once you kind of understand that, because we know that Simon Peter is his name, right? And we'll see that in a various place or two. But there's also the name of Cephas, most frequently used by Paul. And we'll go to those places and find that, and then we'll understand why it was that he called him Cephas. But go to 1 Corinthians 1 and 12 in Paul's writings. I should have tried to thumb mark all these, but I'm just going to try to get there swiftly. But now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I of Apollos, and I of Cephas, and I of Christ. So there's that name Cephas. And then go to 3 and 22. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours. So there's another place he's referred to him as that. 9 and 5. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Now we're going to come back to that verse in a bit, because I want to dive into that one a little bit more. But that's some pretty cool stuff here in just a bit. But just it gives the name Cephas. And then 15 and 5. And that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. Now, we're going to go to Galatians 1 and 18. Then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. So that was Paul referring to him as Peter. So you're thinking, why all the different names? But in also in Galatians 2 and 9 and 11, it says, when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, received the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship that we should go unto the heathen, and they unto the circumcision. So now he's back to referring to him as Cephas again. And you can see that again in 11 there. It said, but when Peter was come to Antioch. So now there's Peter. And then in the 14th, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of the Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? So now you're thinking, was he calling him Cephas, and was he Peter? So we'll get to that point, hopefully. But in the book of John, in 1 and 42, I believe that's where it's going to show us that, ain't it? And we're going to realize who gave him that name. John 1 and 42. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So that's why Paul, anytime you see the word Cephas in Paul's writings, that's who he's talking about. He's talking about Peter. And it was because Jesus had given him that name. But recognize there's a few more names in that verse. It said, thou art Simon, son of Jonah. Now, there's another spot. We're going to see that when it says, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah, you'll also see that written as Bar-Jonah, won't you? Bar-Jonah, Bar, son of. That's what that means. When you see that in the Bible and it gives a Bar, son of, that's what that means. And we can take that from these very verses. Thou shalt be called Cephas, it said. But go to Matthew 16 and 17. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. So that Bar-Jonah, son of Jonas. John 21 and 15. I told you we was going to be doing a lot of flipping around, but that's what I got to deal with when I'm doing my Bible searches. It just... I'll go to them and see if there's anything that makes sense of it, and I'll skip and go to the next one if I can't understand that one. So, I don't know if all y'all maybe do the same thing, but 21 and 15, the book of John. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? So there it was again, son of Jonas or Bar-Jonas. Any thoughts on that? I know that was a scattered mess, but we've got Simon, we've got Peter, we've got Simeon, we've got Cephas, we've got son of Jonas, we've got Bar-Jonah. There's a lot of names when you get to looking into who Peter is and who called him by what name.
I wonder why he's referred to as Simeon. And then what you just made mention of Bar-Jonah, I never knew that.
Well, that's bad news. I probably missed the mark there.
Bar-Jonah. Really, I just always thought maybe that was his last name or whatever, but it was Bar means son of Jonah, so I never.
Yeah, you got Jesus giving it both the same, and that was I've seen that taught in places, but I never really bought into it until I read the different verbiage of Jesus himself, and that kind of sold it to me to say that, well, yep, he referred to him as son of Jonas, he referred to him as Bar-Jonas. So it definitely seems to be the same calling there. And Simeon, the only thing that I could find there, that was the Greek to the same word as Simon. So that made a little bit of sense.
And it was called Cephas basically because that word means a stone.
Stone.
And Jesus, but yeah.
That's... Boy, this book is something else. I really don't, I mean, that's not there for confusion. We just need to understand that they were given names for what, and you love it when Jesus gives the most names, don't you? You love it when just such as Paul. Paul was given that name by others, thank goodness. They'd seen a difference He's no longer Saul anymore. He's not the destroyer. He's not that bad guy anymore. So they seen a need to give him another name because he didn't represent what he did at one time. And hopefully some of us can relate to that. Hopefully we've changed a little bit about ourselves from what we once was to after the Lord saved our soul. And we finally got to a submissive state to where he could start forming us a little bit. Maybe there's been a little bit of a change in our name, in our attitudes.
Is that why the name Heather is still Heather? I just asked a question.
She did go for Ron of the Wall. She did go for Ron of the Wall.
Yeah.
Myron's talking right now.
But let's pick up and find Peter. And you know, with just about in any list you read, the first four names you pick up is Peter and Andrew, and then it talks about James and John, son of Zebedee. And so we'll go through those. We'll pick up on those and maybe understand their names. But now, Andrew, not a lot of name, not a lot of differences there, not a lot of accounts for an Andrew. But world needs more Andrews. And let's see if we can figure that out as to why that is. Sticking there in John, go back to 1 and 44. Now Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. In the 45th there, you'll see Philip findeth Nathanael and said unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there be any good thing come out of Nazareth? And Philip said unto him, come and see. So we say that just to say that Philip was of Bethsaida, and that was the same city of Andrew and Peter. They were of that same city there. Bethsaida means house of fish, northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. So they were all, Peter, Andrew, and Philip there was all from that area. Peter and Andrew was Galilean fishermen, as listed in Mark 1 and 16. So if you want to go over there and read that. So this is they were northeast side of the Sea of Galilee. And the Lord finds the first four pretty quick right there together. But Mark 1 and 16, it says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. So Simon meaning Peter, and Andrew's his brother. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsake their nets and followed him. Well, I'll jump ahead a little bit. We'll come back and get it as well. But in the very next verse, it said, when he had gone a little further thence, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother. So that was the next two that you'll see mentioned. And that's just, again, going back to the list of the apostles, the first 12. Those four names are normally mentioned at the top of the list. Luke 5, 2 through 3. This is, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen was gone out of them and were washing their nets. And leave it to Luke, man, the detail that this man does. If you can ever find a comparison of writings that Luke does and maybe compare to Matthew and especially Mark, it's like Mark gives you basic details. This is what happened. Luke, he expounds on it tenfold. And he just, the detail that Luke writes with is just, really good sometimes. But notice if 5 and 2, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left the speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. So we understand by that, but what their jobs were, don't we? We know that that Peter owned ships. We know that later on we'll see that the other brethren, the sons of Zebedee, they were partners with them. You can jump over there and see that in 5 and 10. It said, "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from hence thou shalt catch men." So they had business together. It certainly looks that way, don't it? They had ships. Peter had a ship there, and it looks like John and James had a ship there. And we'll see in another part of the gospel in just a bit that they basically pulled their ships up, set them right there on the coast, and just walked away from all of that. Just walked away from it and followed the Lord. Could you imagine today walking away from your job and 100% giving all your life to Christ? We try and we say we do as good as we can, and that's a lie. We'll be the first to say it, won't we? "Well, I'm doing the best I can." No, we're really not. We're not giving it our all. We need to recognize that. That the best you've ever done, whatever percentage that is, for me it's probably, I don't know, maybe high teens, low 20s. Maybe some of y'all, maybe you're a whole lot better than me. Maybe you've hit 55, 60% that you've really give all your all. And the Lord blessed that effort. Could you imagine if somehow, some way, we were really able to give 100%, what kind of blessings that would be? Lord, help us.
And he still asked Peter, "Love us now any more than this."
Amen. Yeah.
And he was still in a place that even after he gave up all and followed him, it comes to a point that Peter, and I've heard people say it was over the fishes. I believe it was over the others.
Mm.
But he said, "You love us now and me more than this." Even Peter.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, so the best, like you said, at the very best we can do, we're going to come up short. But none of us even come close to doing the best we could.
Right. That's right.
I appreciate that.
Yeah. There's just a very few. We was talking about Rick Jones.
That's right.
I can't keep from. I remember when he first had the burden to go over to Jamaica, and I went over there with him a few times, but he, I just went to go come back. He went to stay. He left his kids, and some of them expecting babies. And one of the trips, I guess it was the second trip when I was over there with him, they had sent him a video on the old 8-track thing. And he got to see his grandbaby for the first time on one of them. This was after he done moved over there, and I guess it maybe it's when me and Brad went the second time or something. But he got to watch on video of his grandbaby when he was born, and his grandkids was born while he was over there. I mean, he would come and go. Linda couldn't go with him. Well, that right there is when I would have said, well, if she can't go, I can't go with her. But he still went, just like when he got this infection in his foot recently, Linda was back in Missouri. She can't hardly stay over there because of the eats in her stomach and things. But he, I mean, somebody like that they have sold out in a speaking, you know.
Yeah.
And Brad Whittemore, I mean, he may still be right here at home, but his number one goal is to serve the Lord.
Amen.
And every day of his life, you know. Boy, there is a few that really gets closer.
Amen. Closer. Amen.
Paul Bryson sold all of his business.
All of his chicken houses.
And funded his way to go to be able to carry the gospel out through that.
And he lives in a double wide today.
Yeah. I mean.
It's a few.
There's a few. And that's, I'm thankful that there's few out there that still being that inspiration, maybe some of us others can give up a little bit.
Man.
Maybe if they're willing to give up their lives and their homes you know, Don Curtis, all he done was moved out to Ohio, but I'll never forget that because me and Marty was buddies. I mean, we was pals, yeah. We was cousins, we was friends, and you know, and one day Marty said, we're moving to Ohio, and I mean, he lived right below me. Why are you moving to Ohio for?
Yeah.
Well, Daddy's got called the pastor. I said, why is he doing that for?
Yeah.
You know? Well, that don't make no sense. I said, there's churches around here everywhere. He pastor,
yeah.
Why is he going up there? And he said, well, he feels like that's what he's supposed to do. And I, to me, I just didn't get it. I didn't understand.
Damn.
It just made me about half mad. You know, he's taking off, taking my buddy. But now I look back on it. And, you know, just like I've told y'all, I worked with him on a batting ground. There's a lot of days he talked to me, and there's some days that man never said a word to me. We'd ride all day long, and he just said a word just like he's in another world. And I thought, what's wrong? And now I know. You know, I watched Stanley King die on Saturday night, especially. You know, when I looked through that little living room window, and he had a desk sitting there with a lamp on. I'd look down there and we'd 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, him sitting there, what's wrong with this man? You know, why is he up sitting there all night long?
Read the Bible.
Yeah.
I know.
Amen.
You know, and I've never done nothing compared to these other brothers, but I'm so thankful for them.
Yes.
What I've been able to see in my life.
Yep.
There's some people are willing to say
that's right.
Life.
Yep.
And just let everything go and do it.
Amen.
And, I've never even come close.
God bless.
I pray that someday that I'll be willing to sacrifice a little bit for the Lord's cause.
Lord, I appreciate this. I remember making a statement one time. I don't know that I'd even joined the church at this point, but I remember hearing about how some would go on these mission trips and how they always ended up in Jamaica, Bahamas, and in my mind, I'm thinking, oh, what a hardship. Oh, Lord, that, you know, oh, that's got to be tough going to some exotic place like that, you know. But that was me, a non-believer. That's just the gospel. And I remember telling Heather, I said, why don't anybody ever end up in Alaska? And God is my witness. I'm on his shoulders.
Yeah.
I'm going to Alaska.
Yeah.
I thought, I'll hush. Thank you, Lord, I'll hush. So,
Guatemala,
Lord help.
Places that
Ghana.
Yeah. Places that
amen.
Nobody don't even want to visit, much less go live there and preach the gospel.
Amen.
But lovest thou him more.
Amen. Than that. Amen. And China, you know, you think about the the millions of people over there that is hungry for the word. And to even have a Bible over there, you could very well be thrown in jail just for having one. And the time I got to go, I carried this one with me at all times. I was told, do not put that in anything other than your carry-on. You may not get it back, you know. But I carried, I think I went to the Dollar Tree or something and got some of those little King James Bibles. Carried about 8 or 10 of them over there with me, and I got those in, you know. But had those in my carry-on to think, I'll try my best to sneak those in over there, you know. And you just don't know where some of those might have ended up. I mean, they are hungry for the word over there. So there's a whole world out there that we were told to go out, teach the gospel.
We used to take Bibles up out of the jail, and they'd search them, you know, make sure you weren't sneaking in. I'd say, you need to search real good in that. There's some stuff in there that might be a benefit to you. Searching guards. They finally caught on. I tell them that. I take 3 or 4 Bibles in there, and some of them, they the Bible, and they start fanning through there, and I said, you need to search that real good. And they just look at me like, well, we are, you know. And finally, one night, I said, there's some stuff in there that benefits you. And then they got it. And it's like, oh, yeah.
Amen. Getting back to Peter a little bit, something I forgot to mention, and we mentioned it before here in Sunday school, but I love knowing the fact that Peter was married. Peter the apostle had done a lot of traveling around, and I believe we can show here in just a minute his wife went with him. So for the denomination that believes that priests shouldn't have wives, it seems awful odd that the very first pope that they claim was Peter ended up being married. Yeah. This seems a bit odd. That may kind of tear down your religion pretty quick. Yeah. Mark 1 and 29. And forthwith, when they were come out of the synagogue, they entered into the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John, but Simon's wife, and we recognized earlier, Simon is who? Simon is Peter, isn't he? Simon's wife's mother lay sick of a fever. That's pretty plain, ain't it? Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever. Now, going into, so the apostles, we see that there was apostles married. We see that, we believe that Peter preached the gospel. We believe that he was married. We believe in 1 Corinthians 9 and 5, and we were over there just a minute ago, and we read that, and I said we'd come back to it, and so we're going to try to do that. 1 Corinthians 9 and 5, we'll read that again, knowing this fact. This is Paul doing speaking. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles? And as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas. So to me, that's saying we can lead them about. We can lead about a sister. We can lead about her wife. And Brother Monty was out the house not about a week or two back, and he was talking about going down there to the mission field where he's at, and said his wife had broke her ankle, and he just couldn't do it without her. Couldn't do it without her. And he said, I don't want no part of being down there without her. She helps me out too much. And I feel Peter felt the exact same way. I think right here in 9 and 5, I believe that's what Paul was saying there, that Cephas brought his wife with him. And have we not power to lead about a sister and a wife as well as other apostles and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? So that was good to come across. So we have saying that have the ability to bring a wife on her journeys as well as other apostles and the brethren of the Lord and Cephas, meaning Peter. So Peter is an example of bringing his wife with him, which shows the fallacy of the celibacy for the clergyman. Any thoughts on any of that? Now, kind of going back to Andrew, because they kind of tied together, being brothers and all, and they're normally mentioned one right after the other. You have the belief that Peter's always mentioned first, Andrew being second, probably the oldest to youngest is normally how that's perceived, and you see the same thing when it mentions James and John. You assume James is the oldest, John's the youngest there. But Peter's brother, Andrew, a disciple of John the Baptist, who became one of Jesus' first disciples and then brought Peter to Jesus. So we can read that in John and 1 and 35. We'll pick up that account. And we'll read through the 42nd. Again, the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and said unto them, What seek ye? They said unto him, Rabbi, which is to say, being interpreted, Master, where dwellest thou? And he said unto them, Come and see. They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the tenth hour. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. So Andrew was there following John the Baptist. John the Baptist shows him Jesus, so he starts following Jesus. And in the 41st, he first findeth his own brother Simon and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas. So we read that a minute ago, but we didn't realize how possibly a little brother had went and got his brother and said, come here, you got to see this, man. Yeah. I remember, I can't remember the young man's name. It was Garrett's cousin. Just as soon as, yeah, please tell that. You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I know who you're
talking about. Tristan, that was his name. That's right. Amen. Amen. But right after Garrett got saved, if I remember that right, he was just all excited. I'd never seen that boy talk so much in my life. I probably one of the first couple of times I ever met him. But I just remember we were walking around and doing a handshake, and he come over there and got a hold of him and said, I mean, I got saved. You need to get saved. I mean, just in a tizzy, wanting to share what he had just experienced. And I think that's what we see happen right here. I think his little brother, I think Andrew, said, Peter, come here. You got to see this guy. You got to hear, but this is him, the one we've been looking for, the one we've been taught about our whole life. This is him. Any thoughts? We should have that love for our family, don't we? Although they are the hardest to talk to, without a doubt. And for some reason or other, we all just feel guilty as a dog to even mention it maybe not even tell our plans. Well, what'd y'all do? Well, we didn't do much, you know.
The little boy would get saved one time. He was probably 9 or 10 years old when he got saved, and he went right straight to his daddy. And went to talking to his daddy before you know it. His daddy was on the altar, and that little boy beside him prayed.
Yeah. Amen.
And I thought, man, that just blew me away. To see a kid get saved, go to their daddy.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else?
I can't never get away from in that passage how that I think that we all need to be just little Andrews. We need more little Andrews.
Amen.
Everybody like to be Peter. I mean, in a sense of speaking. Yep. I looked up one time here recently, and just the word Peter and Stephanus was like 170 times Peter's mentioned in the Bible. You know, he's well known.
Yeah.
And Andrew, the word Andrew is just in the Bible like 5 or 6 times.
Mm.
And we all, it's our human nature to want some recognition.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yep.
It's our human nature. And I think it was where Paul said one time that we need to be, that we're not ignorant of the devices of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And if we're not careful, that desire for recognition can be a device of Satan.
Amen.
I can stand up and want to do a better job for the church, you know, then I'm concerned about the message.
Mm-hmm.
If I walk away wanting the people to be satisfied with what I did or with my message more than the message itself, I miss the mark.
Yeah.
And I look at that how that we all would like to sometimes like recognition.
Yeah.
Peter here, you know, we read about Peter all the time, but you never read about little Andrew. Andrew Amen. Is the one that brought Peter.
Yep.
What if it hadn't been for Andrew? Where would Peter have been?
Amen.
You know, and I don't know that this is where Peter got saved or merely that they had been saved and said, hey, we finally found the Messiah that we believe. I don't know which way that is. I don't know. But the point has been made that Simon or Andrew is the one that went and told
Amen.
Peter we found him. Brought him back to him.
Amen.
So sometimes we just need to be Andrews. And even in that very same text, John the Baptist, he had, if you think about it, he had Simon and them or Andrew and them following him.
Yep.
They got saved, I'm satisfied, yep. under John's prayer. And then they followed him. How long, reckon?
Yeah.
8 months that they befriended
That's
one
right.
another. And then all at once, he's been telling about this Lamb of God that's coming. And all at once, here his friends are standing right here next to him, Andrew and him. And he said, there he is.
Yep.
Behold.
Yep.
There he is, the Lamb I've been telling y'all about.
Yeah.
And what would have been in his mind frame when now then his friends quit following him, mm-hmm. John the Baptist? Now they walk off and leave John and they go to Jesus.
Amen.
Would I have been sitting here thinking, y'all leaving me?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, is it, you know what John knew? John knew it wasn't about him.
That's right.
You know? When he said he was a friend of the bridegroom, he rejoiced.
Amen.
When Andrew and them left him and went to Jesus. And he even said, I must decrease.
Amen.
And boy, I mean, if I could get that down pat, that I would increase when I stand behind that book board and Jesus increase. Yep. I decrease, he increase. When I leave it out there, they see Jesus.
Amen.
Instead of seeing me.
Amen.
There's a whole lot right there in that boy, we need to digest.
Amen. Real good points. As I studied about Peter and James and John, the son of Zebedee, we'll get to them here in just a little bit, but we see Peter's name mentioned a lot. We see James and John's name mentioned a lot. But we also see Peter's rebuked more than a handful of times by the Lord and by Paul, isn't he? So that's a few times their name's brought up. Well, we'll see John and James ain't no different. They're going to get rebuked a time or two. I think their mother even, hey, Jesus, what about one of my boys sitting on one side and one sitting on the other? And he's like, you think you can drink this cup?
Yeah.
Amen. And one of them got it first. One of the two got baptized real quick, just shortly after there in the book of Acts, I think 12 and 2. He was the first apostle that was martyred. That's him. So we'll get to all of that. Boy, good stuff here, figuring out who these people are and figuring out why they got the recognition sometimes. Sometimes it was good that they did, but sometimes they just, we need to recognize John the Baptist when he allowed them, hey, there he is, and you can almost just see John just kind of stepping back and just smiling. Maybe finally just sit down and rested a minute and just smiled and said, go. Carry on. That's what it's supposed to be. Y'all go ahead and do what you're supposed to do now. I've done what I'm supposed to do, and I feel wholeheartedly the Lord just blessed him in that, and then they went a following after Jesus.
If you're a true, what you want to call a leader, that's what you want. It's nothing that blesses you anymore if you're a pastor to see the church doing the work.
Yep.
That you try your best to tell them about, just follow the Lord, and then you can just sit back and be quiet. You know, you text me the other night, you were worried, afraid, talked too much in Bible study or something about, and of course I didn't think he did, but I didn't talk much. It just tickled me to death. I could sit back and be quiet and see that we was of one accord about that subject.
Amen.
And you know, that's where you do get to do like John the Baptist and get to sit back a little mm-hmm. bit and then just, you know, see that's what you really want.
Amen.
It ain't if you want the recognition from us, you want the church to get blessed and be of one accord. And when I preach stuff sometimes, I ain't gonna lie, last Sunday, you know, trying my best, you know, you want to help people.
Yeah.
It ain't the fact you get recognized and then you want to see people get help that you know is hurting. And that's really what we should be about. And it ain't that you want everybody to come and hug you and pat you on the back. You want them to get something from you.
Man.
Yeah.
And if we can get that way, not let it be about us, and boy, I'm going to be as bad as anybody. There's times I think, what's wrong with you people? I preached my heart out. Y'all wouldn't get up and say you've done a good job or having a good message. I mean, what's wrong with y'all? You know, I studied all week. I'll get up here and give you everything I got. And y'all just sit here. As James says, preach ye silent. We all that way. I don't care who you are. I hear preachers say, you know, I don't want to be seen. I don't want to record it. I'm like, that's a lie. You do too. I mean, you might as well be honest about it.
But the thing of it is, but if when you're really where you're supposed to be, all you want them to see is the Lord.
Amen. That's right.
And,
amen.
And we're not always where we're really supposed to be. That's the problem.
Amen.
But anyway, I'll hush. I'll be texting you after all
that. That's been a good study. It's been a good study.
That's what me and him do. We'll go to Bible study or Sunday school, and then we text back and forth and talk about how we talk to him. And then we'll do it again the next time.
Bring your nasty wives.
Yeah.
Well, we get excited about it. Amen. Nothing wrong about being passionate about the Word of God.
Amen. Anything else? We may continue this next week, but kind of started getting to thinking that getting about that time of year to understand the Passover. I know it ain't something that we got to do at a certain time, but me and Josh was talking about it a little bit last night, and not to put him on the spot, but now Barry had probably a 5 to 7 year span of a study that we'd went over in Sunday school various different years. But he put that together in a book last year and summed all of that up with the seven pillars, as he'd referred to it. Understanding the Passover, understanding the feast, and understanding how the Gospels support all of that. That's a real good study, and we might end up kind of dipping into some of that. Might use some of his material for resources and things of that nature. I'm not trying to teach what he's already done. I'm just trying to understand it, to be quite honest with you. So we may get into that a little bit, but y'all be in prayer about that. But as this season comes on and understanding how that ties in with the gospel and these feasts, and I've tried to put that on a calendar. I was telling Josh last night, I went on the Windows calendar and I downloaded that, and I even changed the name at the top of it for what month it was and put it in Hebrew and took away the year and put 33 AD. I'm not 100% convinced of that, but I'm close. Just tried to imagine what that calendar would look like and how those feasts would have started. And maybe you take that day, that's the 14th, that Passover, starting the 14th through the 21st, and maybe you take the top half of that calendar on that 14th and you color the top of it black and you color the bottom of it blue, night and day, day and night.
Yeah.
Night starts first, right? Yeah. So you got to understand all of those things, and boy, that was a real good study, but we may try to... Visuals help me, people, is what I'm getting at. If I can see it on a calendar like that,
yeah,
and I can put those dates in there, it helps me. So y'all be digging into that and get ready to, we'll try to study that out together. But
man,
if nothing else, y'all consider yourself dismissed.